Hello, everybody. This is William Del Pilar, and this is the Red, White, and Rude, where politics and culture collide. And as a great Andrew Breitbart once said, politics is downstream of culture, and we as conservatives must get into the game. Hello, everyone. We have another great episode for you tonight. We are going to talk about what I grew up as a child falling in love with, and that is the Marvel Comics universe. It wasn't called the Marvel Comics universe. It was just called comics back then. Spider-Man was my favorite. I gravitated towards Marvel characters, as DC characters just seemed to be too fake. I mean, nobody could beat Superman if you got down to it. So I gravitated towards Peter Parker. Many of us in America could relate to him at the time. And Captain America was one that I collected, but really didn't have a great passion for. And we are going to talk about today's Captain America, specifically Anthony Mackie's controversial comments about America. Now, for those who aren't aware, Sam Harris, I believe, was his sidekick. It was so long, and it wasn't my favorite comic, but was his sidekick. And for a very brief run, he was Captain America in the comic. And sales were never strong for Captain America, and they plummeted. And they quickly brought Captain America back. I don't know why they went down that storyline. We're talking the 70s or 80s back then, so it was a long time ago. But for those of you not aware of who Captain America is, let me share my screen here. There you go. That is Captain America there today. That is Captain America today. That is Anthony Mackie as he is being brought to you by Marvel Studios. I have no interest or desire to do anything with Captain America as he is in his original form. As I stated, it wasn't one of my favorite comics, much less when it's not the original character. I am somebody who I like my original characters. It's from the creators. It means something to them. And it doesn't matter if it's comics or even music. Like, I used to be a big Styx fan, but they're not Styx anymore. Yet they've been touring the last 15, 20 years without the original group calling themselves. The Eagles have done that. You know, so various groups, I won't bother to waste my money on a ticket. To me, the original groups are the original groups. And that is Anthony Mackie. And so who is original Captain America? That is the original Captain America. March number one. Captain America Comics, 45 thrilling pages of Captain America, Sentinel of Our Shores, plus other great features. And there you see him, knocking out Adolf. One second. Captain America was created by Joe Simon and Jack Kirby, and today's writers, especially in comics, have everything. They owe their livelihood to Joe Simon, who found a little law that stated after 50 years, all these characters reverted back to their owners. That's why you see Warner Brothers having paid out massively the Supermans to Joe Siegel and Joe Shuster's estate. Same thing with all these other great comic creators who were left high and dry by the studios who made billions off them. And that, to me, when I think Joe Simon, he is the savior of every comic book artist, writer, you name it. Because of him, they actually have something to fall back on. Jack Kirby is known as Jack King Kirby, the King of Comics. He pretty much drew everything at a certain point in time. He is a co-creator of the Hulk, the Avengers, Thor, some great characters from Marvel that we see on the big screen today. So, Joe Simon and Jack Kirby were both of Jewish descent. They were personally driven by the horrors of Nazism and fascism, and that influenced their decision to craft this character, Captain America, who would stand as a symbol of resistance against those ideologies. I call them Democrat ideologies today, and I'm not far from the truth. The data does bear that out in the authoritarianism they are pushing and promoting, regulating social media to where they control it. The Biden regime dictated to Facebook what they could and couldn't say. Look at the Hunter Biden laptop. The mainstream media being a propaganda piece for the Democrat Party. Look at the Russia hoax. I can go on and on. But shades of that ideology is seen today. And I'm being kind by saying shades. It's much deeper than that. that we see in the Democrat Party. However, back to Cap. The creation of Captain America was both a cultural statement and an act of defiance against the oppression and discrimination they saw in the world. Captain America first appeared in March, as I showed you in that cover, 1941, in the comic book Captain America Comics number 1. Just got to take another look at Cap there. Woo! Kick some booty. Some Nazi booty, Cap. And then at the bottom there, you see also Captain America's young ally, Bucky. And we've seen him in the comic, in the movies too. Now, the purpose behind creating Captain America was multifaceted. It was a patriotic symbol. You hear that, Anthony Mackie? Patriotic symbol. He was designed as a patriotic symbol to boost American morale and inspire patriotism during World War II. Well, Americans fail to realize because we're fat, flabby, and lazy. Because we've done so good for so long, is foster patriotism. And for a country to continue to exist at the high level it has, you have to have that. I've been into Indian movies lately, and they have a high belief of patriotism towards their country. And that's how it should be for every country, to be quite frank. You can work and love your neighbors, but you are your country. You are your strength, your power. We are Americans. His creation came at a time when the U.S. was getting ready to enter World War II. And he was intended to serve as a superhero who would fight for our American values, which still exist, but the Democrats are slowly eroding them away, as well as Republican rhinos. Just look at the Tulsi Gabbard Senate hearings and the Kash Patel Senate hearings to see that. There's one more in there. RFK, Kash Patel. Oh, and Tulsi Gabbard. I think I said Tulsi. Tulsi, Kash, and RFK Jr. They want a better America, for better or for worse. And the powers that be that are in control, that has us at our worst time we've ever been in history in terms of being unified as a nation, they want to continue to separate us because they don't want the establishment out. Again, I digress. So Captain America represented our values like freedom, justice, and democracy. There was an anti-Nazi sentiment with Cap. Look at the cover, punching Adolf Hitler. He was explicitly anti-Nazi, reflecting the creator's strong opposition to fascism and the Axis powers. And if Mackie sees that, he needs to look in the mirror, because it's him and his party that are pushing and promoting that, then hiding under the veil of victimhood. Captain America was also meant to represent the moral high ground. That's one thing about Cap, always fighting the honest fight. Every so often, be like, come on, Cap, gotta get down and do it. How to conduct oneself against the face of evil. He was meant to embody the American citizen, brave, just, and committed to protecting the innocent. Those are values that we all supposedly say we have, but again, progressives don't believe that. They want to dictate to us how to live, what to teach our children, what God to pray to, when we can pray, or if there isn't even a God outside of the God of government to pray to. From a commercial perspective, Captain America was also a strategic move to sell comic books. And it worked. He resonated with readers, especially in a time of national pride. As the war increased, as women worked in the factories, as men were shipped overseas. So why am I talking about this and Anthony Mackie? Well, Mackie made a statement that sparked controversy by suggesting that Captain America, Brave New World, where he plays Sam Wilson, should not be seen as representing America. He stated, Captain America represents a lot of different things, and I don't think the term America shall be one of those representations. Excuse me. That went too deep there. And that's absolutely not true. And he should look in the mirror again, because it's his hatred, his vile, his bigotry, along with the Democrat Party, that has pushed us to where we are tribalistic like this. As a Latino, I have no qualms and shame in saying this anymore. I held my tongue for years and years because I have family on both sides, not just in ideology, but black relatives, white relatives, and everything in the middle. Mackie made these comments during the promotion of the film. Hey, let me see how I can destroy my film. Mackey's comments were in response to online discussions comparing the movie's political elements to real-world politics. Yeah, think, notably likening the film's President Ross to Donald Trump. His remarks aimed to pivot attention away from political interpretations. That's a lie. Mackey got tired of the fact that they were trying to make this political. But yeah, everything from Marvel, including what Mackey has said and what he has portrayed, has been political. So what did he expect the audience to do? Golly, your willikers, Anthony. did I finish making my statement of what he said? So I did. So originally, again, created by Simon and Kirby in 1941, Captain America's portrayal has veered into what I would describe as woke territory. His comments on America not representing honor, dignity, integrity, nor trustworthy and dependable reflect this shift. You want to look at it? Look at your party. Again, Joe Biden threatening Facebook to take and banish conservatives, which they did. It wasn't just him. It was Obama. How was it that Obama benefited from everything from Facebook? Hell, Google had an office in the White House, and they censored all conservatives. Obama used every technical feat he could to win a race. And then when it was done in 2016, it was exposed. Look at this dark, dirty secret. And everybody went crazy. Look what the Republicans are doing with Facebook. Facebook this, Facebook that. Obama had done it even worse. Became a big issue. The hypocrisy, that's your party. Hypocrites, bigots, zealots. By definition, your party is a party of fascism when you look at your acts. Again, what I just described in trying, and not trying, but successfully doing with social media. Canceling conservatives. By definition, that is who you are, Mackey. That is who and what your party represents. We are a trustworthy country if we have the right people, but you refuse to elect those people. I don't know. Are you that dumb, that ignorant, or that stupid? Take your pick. I don't care, but it's your party. And my side, hey, I can contest anything you say with the data. No deliberate modern policy design has been designed to suppress minorities or Americans. Instead, Mackie, there are numerous programs that exist to uplift the community. That's very American. Giving, honorable, willing to sacrifice to give to others. Yet, they are often criticized as ineffective or politically motivated. Why? Because they are, and looking at the data, not one damn program since the Civil Rights Act has borne fruit. Look at minorities. We're still in the hellhole we were when we started. And this is the party that voted against the Civil Rights Act, voted against the right for women to vote, tried to separate from America that created a civil war. Your party, the party of Jim Crow laws, the party of the KKK. Maybe you should look in the mirror, Mackie. Despite campaigning on the promise of helping minorities, the data shows that these communities of brown, black, and in the white trailer parks, my friends, they're struggling too. Remain in similar socioeconomic conditions today as they did decades ago. So, Anthony Mackie clarified his comments on Instagram, stating, "I'm a proud American, and taking on the shield of a hero like Cap is the honor of a lifetime. I have the utmost respect for those who serve and have served our country. Cap has universal characteristics that people all over the world can relate to." Now he's a neocon pushing democracy. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Oh, man. Now, the one take I will sit there and give him the benefit of the doubt, because I tried to early on. Then I did some research on the guy and like, dude, you're woke. Is that honor, integrity, you know, seeking justice, et cetera, et cetera. That is or should be a universal sound or universal goal. Or who we strive to be all over the world. That's it. But that's not what he meant. He was denigrating America. He was trying to take his shots and be cool. I'm Anthony Mackie, man! You know, he was just feeding us a line of bull hooky, whatever they say. And why? Well, there was more than likely a call from Disney. Yo, Anthony, we need to talk. Disney likely had a powwow with Mackey, urging him to clarify his statements to avoid alienating fans and to mitigate any negative impact on the movie's reception. Yo, Anthony, if this movie bombs, your career's over, because we're going to bury this cap and bring back a different cap, or go to a different cap, because we're losing blockbuster hit after blockbuster hit because we've gone woke. Stop screwing around with this movie and promotions. Truth of the matter is, Marvel Comics universe has tanked since the Thanos war. And this would explain the politically correct comments on Instagram that, in essence, really aimed to not further damage the film's box office prospects by appeasing a broad spectrum of the audience. In other words, damage control, baby! Ensuring that the controversy does not detract from the movie's success by reassuring fans that the character's portrayal respects American values while also embracing a global audience. I think the writing's on the wall. I really think that America's had it with all this woke BS, and Disney just does not want to learn their legend, and it does not, or learn their lesson, and it does not help when you have the Anthony Mackies of the world. And by that, I mean, you're trying to promote a movie, talk about the movie, hype up the characters, the actors, and instead you go woke and you start talking politics, you moron. I guarantee you, at this point, Disney has a list of actors who have been bad-mouthing. I mean, Rachel Zegler, she's an anti-Semite, bad-mouthing, at least that's my opinion, based on what she said or implied about Gal Gadot taking a shot at her because she's Jewish. I guarantee you that little girl had no cojones to sit there and say that to Gal Gadot's face while they were filming, considering Gal Gadot is an ex-Israeli soldier. But she'll get behind her computer. Allegedly, by my research, based on her words. So this is nothing but damage control coming from Mackie on Instagram. They be playing. Another angle I reject, but that I should mention, is his interpretation could suggest a shift towards a more universal depiction of Captain America, which might affect how the character is portrayed in future Marvel Comics universe entries. Bull dookie. Why? Captain America is American. Captain America. You know, he doesn't feel that Cap is really American. Captain America. So there's concern about how this controversy might reflect on the MCU's ability to unite fans under a shared vision. Look, everybody's willing to give it a shot until you open your mouth. Mackie's not the first. The Blue Beetle was another tank. The Star Wars, their series were tanks. They made that one chick in the new trilogy the strongest thing in the history of the universe in every scenario you give it. And we're just tired of it. We're tired of the wokeness. So no, Mac, the damage is done. Here's the thing. Variety, Hollywood Reporter, I look at all those sites. Box Office Mojo, I check them all out. But the real influence comes from YouTubers. And they're not being kind to a woke Captain America. So this movie will be a real test. A real, real test to see where Marvel Comics Universe's heroes actually stand at the box office. Will it be a soft launch or will it be a big old launch? We'll see. I'm indifferent to whether it makes money or not. So Anthony Mackie has a history of discussing race in Hollywood, notably in 2020 when he described Marvel's hiring practices as suffering from an unawareness problem. The term, you interpret it another way by meaning he's stating systemic racism. How a lack of awareness in hiring leads to systemic racial inequality within the industry. Now, here's something Mackie should understand and the rest of you. Homophily in anthropology. It's a concept that describes how societies tend to gravitate towards individuals who are similar to themselves in various aspects like race, culture, or background. This is a natural human tendency, and it can create systemic issues in hiring representation. However, I got to be honest. Since the Civil Rights Act, there has been a significant increase in minority hires across various sectors in the U.S. And some of them, the numbers are more than what the racial numbers show, meaning there's 10, 11% of Black Americans that make up America. But yeah, there's higher numbers, 15-20% in various other institutes. And this is going to have a backlash because it's been pushed racism, racism, racism. You're going to have Latinos are next. They're starting to scream it. Eventually, you're going to have Asians. Asians already took them to court where Blacks were discriminating against Asians. Well, not Blacks, but universities were discriminating for Blacks against Asians. They lost that one because that's racism. And Jemele Hill was like for racism, as were others. So the pushback will happen. How about hiring the most qualified person or the person you think can act and sell the movie? I mean, bring tickets in. America's overcome a lot of that. And this progress in diversity has only grown. And it indicates ultra to systemic racism in hiring practices are literally non-existent. Look, I've said it since 2012 through about 2020, I want to say there were about 400 race hoaxes. I'm like a broken record now when I say that. But it's true. If white racism was there like you want to claim, Anthony, why would you all have to be, you all meaning Black supporters or supporters of Black America and Black Americans themselves, especially on the college campuses, why would you be making up racial hoaxes? Because it's literally been stamped out of the white culture. You know where I see racism against Blacks more, or just racism in general more? In the Asian community, Latino community, and yes, Black community. It's a dirty little secret nobody wants to talk about. I'd love to sit down with a panel of people. Let's have that talk on race, and you better bring your data. Mackie's comments are just politically convenient, invoking outdated narratives rather than acknowledging the substantial changes in the workplace and social integration. A Black man is fucking Captain America. How much more can you ask for? Let's make Ryan Gosling the Black Panther. See how well that would be received. And my point in all this is instead of coming together and using this character to bring Americans together, what's he do? He's using it to just whine and bitch. Black entertainment television. You couldn't find a white person over there until it was sold to Viacom CBS. Now it's become a bit more. They're hiring more based off qualifications versus skin color. And that is important. There are many Black Americans more qualified than me in various things that I do. They've got the track record to prove their success. They should be hired before me if we apply for the same jobs, and vice versa. Now there's other Black predominant companies, RLJ companies, Tyler Perry Studios, Byron Allen's, Mayel Organics, and The Shade Room. My point being, that's homophily. I'm like, to me, hey, those are Black companies. Of course they're going to hire more Blacks. But if they're excluding from whites or Asians or Latinos, down the road, that's going to be a problem. Because as we understand the courts, as the average person understands the courts, as there are more and more lawyers, more and more lawsuits will come. And the path has been trailblazed. That's racism. That's why these cases are going down like dominoes when Anglos and say Latinos or Asians are suing. They're winning. Because racism is illegal. As a Latino with a diverse cultural background within my family, I don't view racism from a singular angle for a political gain. Instead, I understand the importance of self-reflection regarding our own fallibility. Fallibilities? Is that how you say it? Every culture has its subset of racists, and we must ignore, ostracize, and recognize as part of a never-ending battle in humanity to unite as Americans first, not divide ourselves by race as Black, white, Latino, Asian, etc. No culture wants to acknowledge that, but it's there. You see it in attacks. My approach is an emphasis on the need for unity and they have a shared identity as Americans, acknowledging that while we struggle against racism and it's ongoing, it's essential to foster a collective American identity over racial or ethnic divisions. But I'll be damned if I won't call out racism and bigotry when I see it. Because if you don't, it just gets bigger and bigger and has got us to this point where we're at. And let's not ignore Obama condemning the policeman. Turns out that Harvard professor was on record being a big old racist. Do not assume. Always investigate. Always understand that each situation has two sides, so we have to find the truth. But instead, we have like Charlottesville. Every progressive jumped on that. Turned out to be a big hoax. Fascism. Propaganda. That's what you represent right now, Anthony. And you need to take a long, hard look in the mirror, brother. Moving on. I've got notes here on his other incidents and some comparative analysis. But, well, before we go on, let me close it out. So, I always say this to my friends in the South who I grew up with who are Black. I go, we got to recognize the statistical truth if you say racism is as prevalent as you want to say. White America was the reason Barack Obama was elected president. In both the 2008 and 2012 elections, Obama received significant support from white voters, 43% in 2008 and 39% in 2012. He could not have won without those votes. If the widespread claims of racism were accurate, those numbers would have been in the low, low single digits, making his presidency impossible. If we conservatives were like progressives, hell would be raining right now. But we're not. We want to wipe out the crap like DEI and get back the meritocracy. Why? That means the best qualified person gets a job, be it Asian, white, Black, Latino, green, red, who cares? As an air traffic controller, I want the best guy qualified. I don't want somebody with thick-ass coat glasses in a wheelchair just because somebody says we have to diverse our staff. No, I don't care if they're all Black, if they're all brown, if they're all white, as long as they're qualified. Because when you're in the plane, you want the most qualified person being the captain and manning the AIC booth there. Personally speaking, I've stopped watching Marvel Comics movies due to what I perceive as unnecessary changes for the sake of being woke. The Thor storyline, for example, is kind of, I think, where I just put an end to it. Where Thor is no longer Thor, but Jane Foster becomes Thor. And sure, that happened in the comics. Small percentage of his comics compared to everything else and every other story they could have pulled from. And that was a complete departure from the character's core, simply for political correctness over storytelling. To unite Americans, we must prioritize again our shared identity over racial or ideological labels, celebrating the progress while acknowledging the work ahead and never forgetting the past. And only then can we ensure America that was envisioned by its founders and what continues to make us unique and a positive force in the world. Now, moving on. The Rude Rundown. So the Rude Rundown is where I sit there and take a series of approximately 10 storylines, and I briefly take a few minutes to talk about each one. First up is another update to Dragon Age The Veilguard, Electronic Arts, and the Mass Effect game coming up. So, BioWare has decided that Dragon Age The Veilguard will no longer receive any major updates after Patch 5. Due to the game's underwhelming performance, and that only saw 1.5 million players, and they expected 3 million. And that was in sales for 2 months, and they only got 1.5 million. So the studio will now only monitor for game-breaking bugs, signaling the end of active development. That's not the end of it with Dragon Age Veilguard. There's more. BioWare fires Dragon Age The Veilguard writers. So it's BioWare, but Electronic Arts owns BioWare. They dismissed all the writers who worked on Dragon Age. Okay, so I'm sorry. I apologize for the numbers I just gave you. The game was anticipated to sell 10 million copies in 3 months and only managed to sell 1.5 million in 2 months, leading to a significant backlash and the departure of the game's director. The layoffs were a direct response to the game's failure, highlighting critiques of the game's writing as being heavy-handed and overly focused on social commentary, aka wokeism. The game's director, Corrine Bush, who was probably Corey Bush. I think it was a guy before a woman. Yep, I'm correct. My notes, who is transgender, is a significant change of BioWare. Oh, look, I'm going to trash the game, then I'm going to leave. They say she left for another opportunity. I'm thinking, don't let the door hit you on the way out. You lied to us. You told us this would work, and it didn't. But then again, it's not just him, Corey. It's everybody up that totem pole that is responsible for this. So if anybody should be going, it should be the heads at BioWare and the lower level heads at EA who gave that the okay and then convinced the higher ups. Any moron could have seen the track record of games over the last 5 years and known this was toast. It's why Ubisoft has delayed Assassin's Creed Shadows, which is set in Japan, twice now. They're trying to clean it up without cleaning it up. In other words, that's going to be another failure. So anyway, what does this mean for Mass Effect? They've learned their lessons. Will it be woke? We don't know, but you can darn well bet somebody's talking about that. Hey, how woke do we make this? How much of the woke do we take out? Do we take it all out? Yada, yada, yada. So the direction of that current game, who knows? EA's been so woke, who knows? They may have forgotten how to make a good game. So my take, the hits keep coming. As this medieval waste was not only betrayed. Actually, let me redo that. My producer's hitting me up. We're going to make a clip out of this. So my take on Dragon Age, The Veilguard. The hits keep coming as this medieval waste has not only betrayed its loyal players, but abandoned them. The truth is EA wants to distance themselves as fast as they can from this debacle and bury it with the pantheon of other failed IPs. The question is if this IP will ever recover. I'd say not. As it was never a mega IP, but one that had a loyal base that gave it enough sales to justify another game, knowing it wouldn't be a mega hit, but well above average. That's no longer the case with this massive failure. And Dragon Age Veilguard, or Dragon Age The Veilguard, will likely remain in purgatory for well over a decade at least. Trump tariffs gives gaming companies excuse to increase digital prices. Look, the proposed tariffs on President Trump on imports, actually not proposed, the tariffs on imports from Mexico and Canada could lead to higher prices for physical, I repeat, physical video game discs due to increased production costs, as much of the manufacturing infrastructure for these games are in or is in Mexico. And that 25% tariff would elevate costs. My take? Well, these gaming companies are going to use the tariffs as an excuse for a digital price increase. If the physical game price rises due to tariffs, that doesn't mean the digital price has to increase, but they're going to make an argument that digital game prices have to increase. Not because of actual development cost increases, but as an excuse to justify raking in more money. This creates a perception that a tariff-related price increase for physical goods is the reason for a similar increase in digital releases, even though the tariffs themselves don't directly affect digital pricing. An unrivaled ratings update. There you go. Unrivaled TV ratings dropped across the board in week two. I kind of gave a little bit of week two last week, but this is the official track, and week one was in about 300,000. Week two numbers are in. So Friday night games average about 280,000, down 10% from week one. Saturday night games, 98,000, down 2%. And Monday night games, 166,000 viewers, down 10%. Now, this doesn't seem bad in your eyes. Oh, 10%. Oh, 2%. Don't leave, William. 2%. 10%. Look, they were thinking, you know, good and well, somebody pitched them. Yeah, we're trying to get Caitlin Clark. We're trying to get Caitlin Clark. We'll have 1 million viewers per game. Yeah. Sign us. Okay, we'll sign. Okay, we can't get Caitlin Clark. We can't get Caitlin Clark. But we're still looking at about 300,000 minimum across the board. And maybe even more. Because we've got Angel Reese. and a few others coming in. So through the first 2 weeks, Unraveled is averaging 194,000 viewers and shedding them as the day games go on. And that's more than 50% lower than the average WNBA game without Caitlin Clark. Sue Bird, a legend, an icon who I never heard of until this year. I mean, I'd heard the name before, but didn't know who the hell or what the hell she was. Sue Bird's an investor in Unrivaled, and she is playing the PR damage control game. She downplays the significance of the league's TV ratings, emphasizing that the real impact of the league is seen on social media platforms rather than traditional TV viewership. She suggests that the engagement and growth of women's basketball are more accurately measured by the activity and reach on digital channels. Bull dookie! Traditional TV contracts, even for niche sports like women's basketball, offer substantial sums due to the established infrastructure for broadcasting rights, advertising, and sponsorships. It's all built in. It's mega bucks. For instance, major leagues like the WNBA secured multi-million dollar deals with networks like ESPN, despite the viewership numbers being relatively modest compared to mainstream sports. So social media can generate some revenue through ads, sponsored posts, and partnerships. The scale and consistency, my friends, are generally not comparable to traditional TV contracts. Obviously, I'm talking sports broadcasting. And the primary issue is the fragmentation of audiences across platforms, the lower cost per thousand impression rates for ads on social media. Lower prices don't benefit the league when their dollars from networks comes from higher prices for advertisers, and that in turn means more money to the league. So in essence, if they're only getting a dollar per CPM, they're going to be limited. But if they're getting $1,000 per, or if they're getting $100,000 per hour, that's a higher price, and that means more dividends end up going to the WNBA. The more they're able to charge for advertising, the more they can pay for their contracts. So if you don't have that in place, it's slim pickings there on social media. Set game and match. You're getting pennies on the dollar versus what you're going to get with a television network deal. Then there's the lack of direct high-value broadcast rights deals like those with TV networks. In essence, come on over to X. We are the official sponsor. You can only find the WNBA and Caitlin Clark here on this channel. They don't have any of that. Unrivaled's engagement on platforms like TikTok is impressive, but it does not directly translate into the kind of revenue that sustains a professional sports league, my friends. Without the supplementary income that you get from traditional media deals. If social media alone could compete financially with broadcasting television or streaming giants like Netflix, we would see more established sports leagues not just pivoting, but they would be in the discussions to air those. Amazon's a behemoth. Netflix is a behemoth. X, Facebook, TikTok, they're not behemoths when you compare them to those operations. And the shift is not evident. Sue Bird can sit there and say whatever the hell she wants. Social media is indeed a valuable tool for engagement and brand building, but it currently lacks the financial heft to replace the income from TV contracts for sports like Unrivaled needs. My take, my official take, Sue Bird is living in La La Land. And she's pushing back with desperation by stating social media is better than television ratings. Unrivaled? No go. You can say all you want, Sue Bird, but it's just not there. As I've stated, it's a no go to her statements. And the bottom line truth is that no one cares about women's basketball outside of Caitlin Clark. Even that will eventually dissipate once people watch the games. They're utterly boring and full of rage and hate, specifically toward Clark. Worse, the mainstream media in the league justifies it. They drove Clark by all accounts, and her posted comments is more than likely liberal to talk about her white privilege, which doesn't exist. Clark is stating she's made it because of her white privilege. It actually proves her or shows her to be a coward because her talent and hard work is why she's a top player in the league. She's throwing herself under the bus to appease her haters. Here's the problem. Give them a hand, they're going to take an arm. And they did right away. The Mystics owner saying Clark shouldn't have been on the cover of Time, should have been the league. Gina Carano update. Her lawsuit against Disney. The trial has been set. The lawsuit filed by Gina Carano. Hey, do I got a picture of Gina? I think I do. I got a picture. Oh, that's not the original picture I had. Woo! That was smoking. The original picture. But I'm like, eh, it's a kid's show here. So we'll go. We'll go on a download there and not show that one. Anyway, the lawsuit filed by Gina Carano against Disney and Lucasfilm over her termination from The Mandalorian has been scheduled to go to trial on September 29th, 2025. And this is after many, 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 many attempts to have the lawsuit dismissed or delayed being unsuccessful, with Judge Sherilyn Pease Garnett denying the motion to dismiss. Disney, get your ass out of here with that garbage. Along like CNN did. CNN went on to lose $5 million and then had to settle out of court because they were facing $100 to $150 million in punitive damages. But that's unrelated, but it's a media case. So Sherilyn Pease Garnett, the judge, denied the motion to dismiss and the subsequent request for an appeal and stay of proceedings. So what's her lawsuit about? Well, it stems from her firing from the Disney Plus series The Mandalorian in February of 2021. Look at that, 2021 to 2025. It's a long time for to wait for a lawsuit. So the termination followed a series of controversial social media posts. And the final straw was when she compared the experience of Republicans in the U.S. to the Jewish people during the Holocaust. Look, that's an extreme comparison, but conservatives were being canceled. There was a guy canceled at a rodeo for wearing an Obama mask. He was a clown or on the rodeo riding the horse or bull or whatever. Racist. Another race hoax. Turns out it was tradition to always have presidents. They had Clinton, Reagan, Bush, I almost said Gore, and Trump, of course. But Bush Jr. there. But heaven forbid, you can't have Obama. So they were canceling people. So it wasn't like a Holocaust, but they were destroying people's lives. That's just one of hundreds, if not thousands, of tales of cancellation. And that's what she was referring to. Now, she alleges wrongful termination, discrimination, and that Disney retaliated against her for expressing her political views. And that's exactly what they did, while at the same time allowing other Disney Plus actors to express their views. The difference? There's were progressive. There's going to be a couple of hostile witnesses on that witness stand, I'm sure. She also claims gender discrimination, pointing out, this is what I'm talking about, pointing out that her male co-stars like Pedro Pascal face no repercussions for similar or related social media activity. Carano is seeking damages in a court order to be recast in the series. My take? In this era where ABC, CNN, and likely Paramount is going to pay out big dollars, ABC already paid out $15 million not to go to court in a high-profile media case. CNN just lost $5 million and then settled out of court undisclosed because they were facing $100 to $150 million big ones. And Paramount is likely going to pay out to Trump because of their blatant 60 minutes lie, where they it was election interference. They made Kamala Harris look much smarter, much more intelligent. They were, yeah, I'm Kamala Harris, and this is what we should do. You know, we should take this very smooth. To her real answer, I don't know. She essentially said the same thing both times, but the first take was a smooth professional, where you're like, that's my girl, to a second take. It's like a boxing match. Throw in the towel. She's going down. Take. It was embarrassing. And they changed it. That to me, that's election interference. They were trying to portray a different Kamala than what really existed to get her elected over Trump. They're trying to merge with Skydance. A lawsuit like this will not allow that merge to happen just through financial reasons. Skydance is not going to want to merge with a company that could be looking at hundreds of millions being lost. They want that settled out beforehand. So that is my take. A Justin Baldoni versus Blake Lively update. The story that just won't go away. There is the beautiful, she's pretty, very pretty looking girl there. I saw her in one movie. I can't remember the title. And it was spectacular. The Age of Adeline. It's a chick flick, I think, but it's very enjoyable, well written, well acted, well worth your time to get some brownie points with the missus, fellas. But anyway, that is the beautiful Blake Lively there, with the dapper Ryan Reynolds, who's usually beloved. Now people are like, And the victim, Justice Baldoni, the victim of a Me Too accusation, despite Blake Lively trying to claim the Me Too mantle here. So Baldoni is like, come on, bam, 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 like socking robots, and two, that's the robot head is shooting straight up. Justin Baldoni is facing allegations of sexual harassment from Blake Lively. That is going nowhere. Launch a dedicated website to defend himself. I repeat, Justin Baldoni launched a dedicated website to defend himself. This site contains his amended $400 million defamation lawsuit against Lively and her husband, Ryan Reynolds, who is seen to be abusive. He's an A-list, arguably the one of the most powerful actors in Hollywood, abusing and using his power to help his wife beat down and drag through the mud. Justin Baldoni, allegedly. And there's also a comprehensive 168-page timeline of events related to the case. There's a website. Lawsuit info. There's his amended complaint and his timeline of relevant events. And he goes deep, deep. Like I said, 168 page. I mean, this guy, he doesn't mess around, people. They're all in there. You want these juicy details? Go to his website. So this move is intended to counter Lively's claims by presenting what Baldoni and his legal team describe as the truth. The website includes alleged text messages and other evidence. It doesn't include, I guess you have to say alleged, but it looks black and white to me, some of these. And they're discrediting Lively's accusations and framing the narrative with the perspective of the Baldoni legal team, and it's true, states that or alleges that Lively tried to hijack the film with her star power, accusing her of defamation, civil extortion, and false light invasion of privacy. And that's not all of it. And key points from the timeline include allegations of Lively's attempts to control the film's direction, her refusal to work with an intimacy coordinator, whatever the hell that is, and her supposed enlistment of Reynolds and a mega celebrity friend, aka allegedly Taylor Swift, to influence. Not influence it, just pressure it. And it also talks about Lively's press strategy and how it allegedly misaligned with the film's anti-domestic abuse message and has led to public backlash against her. This has happened. Look at me. At first I was like, damn, this Baldoni cat. What a bum. Then I saw the evidence. Oh, hell. Me Too gone. Me Too gone woke. Or Me Too was always woke. Me Too being used as it was originally devised to be a political movement to just accuse a man and boom, take him down with his career. That's what Lively tried to do. In fact, her and her team, if I remember correctly, went to court saying, he can't post himself. I'm the victim here. I'm the alleged sexual harassment victim. So he can't post anything. So what she was saying is, I want to talk all my trash, spew all my Me Too alleged lies, and he can't say a word to defend himself. That's what she's going for. My official take, Dale's take. The rude take. Lively might face significant legal repercussions if the evidence holds up in court. Could also bring legal charges up against her. The reactions include discussions of how this might impact her public image, and I agree with those reactions that are out there. In other words, it's being swayed over to people are looking at Lively and going, I question her credibility and motives. She's a mean girl, riding the coattails of her husband. Without her husband, she'd probably be non-existent right now in Hollywood. Sadly, Hollywood's not kind to women. I actually did a paper on that in college. Baldoni is more than likely to triumph. This $400 million lawsuit will be settled out of court, and I guarantee you, Baldoni will see money. What's at stake? The sequel to this movie, and Baldoni holds all the rights. They've got to make peace with Baldoni. Then they have to figure out a way to work with Baldoni because he owns those rights. The studio and Lively are on the outside looking in. Moving on. Eating their own, Adam Sessler attacks Alyssa Mercante in some gaming news. Adam Sessler was once a cultural icon, beloved by all gamers around the world. Then that mother effer went woke. And coming out of left field, he's critiqued Alyssa Mercante, who is as woke as they can get. I mean, who can ever forget Mr. Steele himself, Sessler on G4 with Frost when she was attacking their fans with a woke tirade. He was there clapping like a seal. Yet Sessler, when he was in his heyday at G4 TV, and for everybody out there that's clueless, gaming. This is gaming we're talking, and it was a gaming network. G4's X-Play was one of the most popular shows around for gamers. And there was another show, Attack of the Something. I just watched X-Play. It was in my heyday with my fantasy sports company. We were all young. Everybody else there was younger than I, and we watched those shows. And it was hot chicks, sexual innuendos. I mean, they went overboard, too. And all of a sudden, he's a feminist, defender of women. So him attacking Alyssa Mercante, who is a bigot, a feminazi, in my opinion, came as a surprise to many, as it seemed to momentarily align him with the frustrations of the gaming community against certain aspects of modern gaming journalism. However, it was short-lived. He returned to his well-known pattern of disparaging gamers and negating any potential for lasting redemption. In other words, he hates gamers. Those who cut him his check by watching his show, he hates him. It's no big secret. He hates gamers. He labeled gaming journal, and he attacked gaming journalism too. He not only attacked Mercante, he used the opportunity to express a disdain for the gaming press. He labeled gaming journalism as a bullshit factory, unquote, reflecting his views that the industry has strayed from the roots of providing authentic and raw journalism to becoming mired in ideological battles and personal controversy. He's absolutely correct there, my friends. Absolutely correct. And to take it one step further, what gaming companies do, publications do, it's they'll accept big time advertising, for example, from BioWare with Dragon Age the Veilguard coming out. BioWare's buying all this advertising, front page, back page, middle page, you know, giving access to their people for interviews with a wink, wink, we're going to get a good review, aren't we? Wink, wink. And that's what they get. So that's part of it too. My overall take on all this, he's a hypocrite. And this shows how much his belief in gaming entering ideological battles and personal controversies is bull, because he was part of everything he's against back in the day. Playing this, hey, they're too woke, they're too ideological. That's what and who he is today. Back in the day, he was on the opposite aisle. Then something happened. I think he fell on his noggin because he wishes death on people. He's just a bad dude. I mean, look at those eyes. I mean, those eyes are a freak. This type of guy you take down and don't think twice about it if he gets in your face, because he's a wacko. And he wants a fight. He's one of those types. Talks so much BS behind his computer, he forgets things are different in real life. But that's Adam Sessler. Again, he's a hypocrite by attacking Alyssa Mercante, even though he's right. He actually does what he's accusing her of doing. He actually does what he's accusing the gaming journalist magazines of doing. And that was done through G4 when he was there. And it's sad. He's just become a sad caricature of what he used to be. Carla Sofia Gascon, a.k.a. Carlos Gascon. Here is before and after pic. Sofia Gascon, the star of Emilia Paredes, appeared in an hour-long interview on CNN en Español, where he repeatedly broke down in tears. I'm not a bigot. I'm not a racist. He claimed that many of his past tweets, or her tweets, sparked controversy, were misrepresented. How can you misrepresent that George Floyd is a drug addict swindler? Well, technically, by fact, people by profession. He is. But the way she said it was much more vile. And then comments about Muslims in Spain suggesting an increase in their presence and questioning their cultural practices. You mean the gang rapes and things like that? I'm not defending her. I'm just stating I saw the comments and they were vile the way, and they were in Spanish. So you had to translate them. And I speak and read Spanish, so I was able to read them in their original format and as intended. And they translate far worse than what they sound in Spanish. But it didn't stop there. She also made disparaging remarks about the Oscars, implying it was turning into an Afro-Korean festival. And these posts date back to 2020, 2021. Gascon has deleted her ex account, but the internet is forever. Now, this is the hypocrisy of the left. They want all this transgender, all this women in sports, all the way from their world. It's entered their world. And they're struggling. You know, her co-star Zoe Saldana, who loved her to death, all of a sudden, who? Who? I don't know who Gascon is. Gascon has issued apologies for her past statements, but many feel these apologies do not adequately address the harm caused by her. What harm? Remember that old saying, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt. Not on the left side. They're like, ooh, 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 ooh. My take, the left wants a do-over, and these posts have been out there forever. I won't get into the context about how she stated some of the items because they were very vile. However, the context of some of what she stated should leave the left perplexed because they deal with a country remaining who they are at the core. And come on, Floyd was nothing but a drug addict swindler in his job profession. I'm not saying that to denigrate Floyd, but that's who and what he was. I don't know. I did not see that post, but I'm sure she probably wasn't kind. But when people ask me, I go, look, he was a drug addict. He sold drugs. He took drugs. You know, don't tell me he was this wonderful guy on the MLK's level. He wasn't. The truth shouldn't take away from the fact he was mistreated on his arrest, though. How he was arrested, and he should never have been arrested that way. We put our police in a higher standard. Oh, and there is enough evidence now to question how he died. So I disagree completely with how she worded her post, you know. But many people are like, damn, woman, you went down the path nobody goes. There's a civil way to talk and discuss our disagreements, and that's not it. So, Senorita, I had to look it up. Carla Sofia Gascon, I hope she still wins Best Actress. Just to piss the left off. Meghan Markle's wardrobe and showbiz comeback. There's a television comeback with Meghan Markle. With love, Meghan. Previously known for her role in Suits, and I watched Suits all the way until the final season just got boring, is making a return to the entertainment industry with her new Netflix series titled With Love, Meghan. The show's a part of a broader deal with Netflix to redefine lifestyle programming. I'm going to look getting my picture here, Meghan, for you to see. It was announced last month and its trailer released in January. The series is set to premiere later in 2025. They pushed it back, if I remember correctly, because of the fires. Now, the real story here is look at that wardrobe. Look at that jewelry. And that's what this is about. Meghan Markle has reportedly spent a small fortune on her wardrobe in preparation for this comeback. The source, I guess it came from In Touch Weekly magazine or website, suggests that her love for designer clothes has been amplified by the affluent company she keeps in Montecito, where wearing jewelry worth millions daily is not uncommon. That's your classic Keeping Up with the Joneses. This expenditure is part of her strategy to fit into the Los Angeles elite social scene after purchasing a luxurious $15 million mansion in 2020. To align with her new social circle and to build an aspirational brand, my friends, Meghan has employed an A-list stylist. And the goal is to consistently project an image of quiet luxury, meaning you're like, oh, she's so elegant. This approach underscores her desire to maintain the appearance of royalty, which she is no longer of, even outside of official royal engagement. My take, she desperately wants to be seen as the next Princess Di. But her tale's been written as a diva who, rather than embody Diana's genuine connection with the public, comes across as someone who is more focused on maintaining an image of wealth and status. Instead of being remembered for compassion or service, she is nothing but a celebrity leveraging her royal association for personal brand enhancement. And she is rightfully criticized for lacking the authenticity and humility that made Princess Di beloved. Don't get me wrong, she's a beautiful woman. But we see her for what she is, the emperor with no clothes. Jimmy Carter wins Grammy after his death. Look, Jimmy Carter won a posthumous Grammy for best book, best audiobook, narration, and storytelling, recording for Last Sundays in Plains. This made him the oldest Grammy winner in history at 100 years old. How is he a winner? He wasn't 100. He's dead. How can you claim that he's the oldest winner at 100 years old? He's dead. Surpassing poor old blues pianist Pinetop Perkins, who won in 97. I don't know if Perkins was alive when he won, either. This is nothing but a politically correct award, given his standing in the progressive aisle. Sure, he did a lot of things humanitarian after he left, but not since 2015. He was a bum since 2015, spewing the old Democrat progressive mantra. He would go around the world saying, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this, to be considered having fair elections. Then all of that, oh, you can do this, you can do this, you can do this, you can do this. It's the most secure election in history. He is a bum. I loathe. My take, this was clearly a homage to one who left this clan's most beloved individuals. As an American citizen who was born and raised in Panama and is Panamanian, I loathe the man for what he did politically and politically over his last decade. To reward an imbecile is Grammy's choice. But again, the Grammys have not been relevant for two generations. There was a time winning a Grammy meant something. More ticket sales, album sales, sponsorships. But those days are gone. Vogue's vile, evil hate, outrage over Melania Trump's portrait critique. Vogue's critique. Vogue magazine. Oop, let me take Jimmy out of there. Vogue magazine published a scathing review of Melania Trump's 2025 White House portrait. They actually said it was like a cosplayer of The Apprentice and her outfit to that of a freelance magician. Hey, Bill Bixby, David Copperfield. She's prettier than David. And that ignited a significant backlash, mostly from conservatives. Now look at that. That's a power outfit. The left, the feminists over there, we are women in the workplace. Well, there's a power outfit there from a woman who speaks five languages, who transcended from being a model, scantily posed at times. I don't see the left talking about their hoes who do that. To becoming the first lady. Five languages, people. Immigrant. Legal immigrant. Newsmax, Todd Starnes, Fox News, Martha McCollum, lambasted Vogue. William Del Pilar of Grumlings Media fame, lambasted Vogue magazine. They argue that Vogue uplifts Democrat hyena. Oops. I'm sorry, did I say that? First ladies, Democrat first ladies, while purposely denigrating GOP women with vile, evil hate through these lies. Jeez, that's a beautiful picture, whether you like it or not. That's actually a very powerful picture. Now, a friend of mine humorously stated, yeah, William, when I was telling him what these topics were going to be about, Michelle and Jill Biden can't hold her bra. This has reignited discussion and political bias. It's always been there. It's always been there. It's a double standard in how the media portrays Republicans versus Democrat women. But let's be honest. If a magazine stated, if a conservative magazine came out and said, Jill has a stuffer bra to match up, and Michelle, her critics call her Michael, could man up as a linebacker in the NFL, every mainstream media outlet would be in a rage, truth or not. They'd be in a rage if somebody said that. I'm not saying that, but if somebody said that. And I'm not lying. They would be. But it's okay to do it against Republicans. We are in a new dawn in the age, my friends. And this is going to come to an end. The voters have spoken. Trump won a mandate electorally and with the votes. So the First Lady can remain beautiful and majestic. She's the prettiest first lady we've had in my lifetime since Jackie Onassis So God bless America. And this has been The Red, White, and Rude. Do not forget to like and share this podcast. And you can find this podcast as well as Fired Up Conservative Talk and Points on the Board, where obviously conservative talk is politics and Points on the Board is sports with a touch of politics, at grumblingsmedia.com. You can also find this podcast, clips, shorts, and other podcasts at our YouTube, Rumble, Apple, Spotify, and Pandora outlets under the profile handle Grumblings Media. I am William Del Pilar for The Red, White, and Rude. And until next week, I bid you adieu.